Good morning. Welcome to St. Peter's. A special welcome to those of you who haven't been here for a while or haven't ever been here before. I'm really happy that you chose this Sunday to come and celebrate on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost and a Thanksgiving at the conclusion of a call. So already I'm crying, and I haven't even thought anything yet. My family is here, my siblings, and right here, they're the late ones are coming, so we'll see them soon. And a special welcome to Bishop Taylor, who has come, the Bishop of the Pacifica Synod, and has come down to celebrate with us today. He just recently moved his home from Santa Ana, from Orange County, back to San Diego, back to his own house, just last week. And he's very happy to be back in San Diego, and we're really happy that he's able to be with us today and just across town. So a special thank you to the to this huge choir and for all the special work that you have put in for this special celebration. So beautiful. Please stand and turn to face the cross and the font as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all.
We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love.
To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Usually right now we have a children's sermon, but we have something special this morning. So would the children come up, please, wherever they are. Welcome.
From Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us praise Psalm 113 responsively. Alleluia. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth forevermore.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory above all heavens.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high?
But stoops to behold the heavens and the earth.
The Lord takes up the wheat. The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes,
enthroning them with the rulers of the people.
The Lord makes the woman of a childless house be a joyful mother of children. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and it will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today with my colleague and friend, Pastor Kara Marone, on what is her final Sunday as your pastor here. My name is Andy Taylor. I'm Bishop of the Pacifica Synod. Those of you who don't know our territory, we include congregations in Southern California from Orange County, south of L.A., and then east, Riverside, San Bernardino County, of course, San Diego County, where you are right now. I also have the tough duty of having to go to our 10 congregations in Hawaii every now and then. I know that you all pity me that responsibility. So, and it's a pleasure to be here, like I said, with you here today. I'm pretty sure the reason Pastor Karen asked me to be here and preach is that she knew she'd be a blubbering mess if she tried to do it. And so I will try not to let my emotions get the best of me. I've known Pastor Karen since she came here, 2003, met her and Don, knew them as colleagues and friends, and mourned with all of you in Don's untimely death. But we really kind of got to know each other much better after our good friend and colleague, the late, great Larry Koger, Pastor Larry, opened a little barbecue and beer joint over in the San Carlos area of San Diego. I invited Pastor Karen to come there once, and before long, she and a few other colleagues were going there and meeting with me on about an every week basis. I was there more than once a week, I confess that. But she would join me, and we would get to know each other. And I'm going to tell you a secret. Yes? Can you not hear? Oh, hi, Lynn. Hi. Yeah. So, I want to tell you a secret, Pastor Karen told me. You know what? She really likes all of you. Did you know that? She would talk about you, brag about you, and tell us about the great ministry you're doing, how much she appreciated being there. And I know this was a tough decision for her to decide that now is the time, but there's been a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment, and a feeling that you are ready for your next chapter. She is ready for hers. I have assured her I will have work for her. We're going to let her go on a mission trip first, and then when she comes back, there will be things for her to do. But she has bragged about you and spoken of you in such high regard that I want you to know that what the children said is true. Yes, Pastor loves all of you. It's not just her sermons that tell you so. She even says so over a pint of beer in a barbecue joint. So what are we to say on this last day? How to sum up what Pastor Karen has tried to teach and be among you and what you are called to do, at least from my point of view? I would like to do something that I think probably just repeats some themes that you know already, but maybe try to put it in a little different kind of packaging. So I'm going to start by telling you about a time before Pastor Karen came to town that I went to a continuing education event for pastors out of all places, Disneyland. We went to Disneyland, and I learned some things about Disney culture that I was unaware of. You may all be smarter about Disney than I am, but I had no idea that Disney doesn't call their employees employees. You know what they call them? There you go. Cast members. Everybody who works there. From CEO Bob Guy Iger to the college kid who sweeps Main Street at 2 a.m. when they finally close down for the night. All of them are called cast members. And while every cast member has a different job description, it would be a little insane for that college kid to try to do Bob Iger's job after all. Everybody has one clause, one statement in their job description that is the same. Everybody is to take time from their busy schedule to make a magic moment for a guest to the Magic Kingdom, no matter who you are. And so the exec who was telling us about this showed a video about how this worked. The little girl in a wheelchair was being brought by her mom to see the Beauty and the Beast show, and she was dressed as Belle, you know, the blue dress, the frilly apron. If you know that Disney feature, you probably remember what she wore. And the pimply-faced 19-year-old male college usher sees her and says, "Wow, you must really like this this show." And she says, "It's my favorite." He says, "Well, I got a perfect seat for you right up front." He leads her up to where she can see the show, shows a little bit of the show in the video and her watching in rapt attention. And then as she's being brought back out, the usher comes up to her and says, "Did you like it?" She said, "Oh, it was wonderful." He said, "What was your favorite part?" She said, "Where the Beast turns into the handsome prince and dances with Belle." And then this little girl looks up at him and says, "Would you dance with me?" Well, he's not sure what to do. But the mom behind nods and kind of holds out her hands. And so he picks her up and she laces her fingers around his neck. And he holds her by the waist and twirls her around two or three times. Puts her back in the chair and wheels her off. That was the video. And the executive said, "That is a perfect example of making magic moment for a guest to the Magic Kingdom." And then she went on to say, "But you know whose life was really changed that day? Wasn't the little girl's. It was that employee who found that his job was a lot more than just getting people to their seats. He found a meaning and purpose for his work that fueled him on to want to do this job and to find that there was great joy in the doing of this work of being cast members in the Magic Kingdom." So we pastors, out in the afternoon, Disney execs talked to us in the morning. In the afternoon, we had a chance to reflect. And we thought, well, if cast members at the Magic Kingdom are to make magic moments for guests to the Magic Kingdom, how much more should we, who know that the kingdom of God has come upon us, should we take time to make sure that others know that God is with them by making magic moments for them as well? And then we thought to ourselves, you know, in order to do this, there's one key component. We have to remember our role. We are cast members. We are not guests. In other words, we who have been baptized, who are fed by the Lord's Supper, know that God is with us each and every day, living in and through us, reaching out through us to reach out to a world in need. Other people don't know that. And so what we are called to do is say no to that part of ourselves that wants everything to be done our way or just for our comfort, in order to say yes to going out of our way to help others know that God is with them. And it can be a hard thing for a church to remember that we are cast members and not guests. You know how I know it's hard for churches? I've worked with a few of them. But also I know it's hard for churches because if you look at the Bible, it was hard for the disciples to remember that they were cast members and not guests. The disciples throughout the Gospels think that the people who are going to get rewarded for following Jesus are them. They argue throughout about who's the greatest. You have more than one argument about that as the disciples are sniping at each other, wanting to be better than each other, and certainly better than other outsiders. They try to say that anybody else who uses Jesus' name is illegitimate and shouldn't be listened to. They continually want power for themselves. And they continually ask Jesus, "Is now the time when you are going to bring the kingdom to its fruition?" They were thinking when that happened, they who had been following Jesus from the ground floor on would become his top assistants, top lieutenants. They'd get power, no doubt, could throw out Rome, could get rid of the Pharisees. They would take over and they would be seen to have these great, great people. And even in the book of Acts, which parallels, the first chapter of Acts parallels the last chapter of Luke, the disciples even say to Jesus, "Now, is now the time you restore the kingdom of Israel? Now do we get all the goodies we've been waiting for?" And what does Jesus say in response? Well, our Gospel of Luke reminds us what he says. He says, first of all, to the disciples, in order to understand what God is up to, you have to know the Bible. The scriptures, the prophets, they all lead up to this. It is necessary for the Messiah to suffer, to die, and to rise again from the dead. And I want you to live and dwell in Holy Scripture. We as God's people are called to dwell in Holy Scripture each and every day. And to especially remember the main point of Scripture, which is the point that God loves us so much, that God has been active in this world ever since sin made its entrance. God has been active seeking to take us back from the powers of sin and evil, make us one with God, make us one with each other. And so God saw us in our need and acted by calling Abraham and Sarah to be his people and giving them one son in old age who somehow improbably ended up being the grandfather of many, many descendants. When those people were in Egypt and were enslaved, God acted and brought them out to the promised land. Once they got that land, God gave them kings, but more importantly gave them prophets to remind them, like Amos in today's text, about when they were going wrong and how God wanted them to care for the poor and care for others and battle evil. And even when they went into exile, though, God continued to love God's people, be faithful to them, and promised that God would never leave them and would go with them wherever they went. But no more did God show us how much God loved us than when God decided to become one of us, lived among us. And Jesus showed us that God was for us and not against us by Jesus' life. When he healed the sick and fed the hungry and preached good news to the poor. But nowhere did God show how far God was willing to go for us than when Jesus went to the cross, separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, taking on the sins of all humanity in order that they might not have power over us ever again. And when Christ died, you remember something tore in two. Remember what that was? Curtain of the temple, which separated the Holy of Holies, where God was believed to be, from where all the people were. Why did we need to be separated? Did God need to be protected from us? No. We need to be protected from God. The holiness of God would have burned us up. But instead, by Christ's death, God got out to where we are. And now the fire of the Holy Spirit only burns up within us that which is sinful, that which would keep us from God, and burns a fire within us for God so that we can reach out with God's love and God's care to a world in need. God did all of this so much that God loves us so much that we don't ever have to worry about ourselves. After all, no matter where we go in this life, God will be with us, right? And when this life is over, God will still be with us to lead us into eternal life. So we don't have to worry about ourselves because God's got us firmly in God's grasp. And God will never let us go. And I've seen that lived out by faithful church people. I want to tell you about Lydia. I met Lydia when I was a young pastor. She was a member of the church. By the time I got there, she already had cancer. She was going through chemo. It was 1986. Hospice was not well developed. So they just did chemo until you died. She was skin and bones within 3 months of my being there. We prayed for healing for her. And I went in to see her in the hospital one day. And I held her by the hand and prayed for healing and just kind of knew it wasn't going to work and felt like I was saying goodbye. And she had a hard time breathing, but she said, "Pastor, I have something to tell you." And she needed to tell me, so I just sat still and waited to hear it. She told me that she had a son and daughter who hadn't spoken to each other for 10 years. They had been angry at each other over something that she'd even forgotten what it was all about. But whenever they had a family reunion, if one was there, the other would leave, and they refused to have anything to do with each other. And she told me that the day before I had gotten there, they had both come in together. And they had said to their mom, because of what you're going through, we decided we had to forgive each other. And we have determined that this is not just for now, to make you feel better now. This is for life. We are going to forgive, and we are going to move forward together. And we want you to know that and be at peace. And then she said words that I will never forget. She said, "We pray for healing, and healing comes. And sometimes there's a miracle, but I don't think that's going to happen for me." There's a woman who knew she was in God's grip. And God wasn't letting her or her family go. And that's a faith that I have admired for many, many years now. A faith in the God who made her a cast member and gave her eyes to see God at work in the world, bringing healing and help and hope. Jesus says that you are to be witnesses. You have seen all this stuff and you are to be my witnesses to these things from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. tells the disciples that they have to witness to what God is going to do. And how do we give that witness? Sometimes we give it verbally. We invite people to church. We share of our faith. We offer to pray for people. I have to tell you, I'm not going to tell this story, but I once offered in that same pub that Karen and I went to a guy who the first time I met him, and I told him I was a pastor, he just went off on me and how bogus religion was. After I knew him for about a year, and he told me a sad story, I said, "I know you're not a man of faith, but I am. Would you mind if I prayed for you?" Not only did he welcome that, he brought prayer requests, and toward the end of my time there, he was asking me to pray with him. And I did what any of you can do. Didn't I have to be a pastor to say, "Can I pray for you?" These are ways that you can give witness. I want to tell you one other story about a guy named Keith. Keith was a middle manager in a company, had 40 employees. When one day he and his employees got notice, their jobs would be ending in 90 days. He had to find jobs for all of his employees. There was not much of a severance that was being offered, and he had people responsible. So he asked me, "Please pray for us, Pastor, that I can find jobs for everybody." And the 90 days ended, he thanked me for praying, and I said, "How did it go? Who got jobs?" He said, "Everybody but one." I said, "Really? Who was that one?" He said, "Me." I said, "You? Why didn't you look for a job for yourself?" He said, "Pastor, where's your faith? God will take care of me." And I had to take care of my employees. That was a way that he gave witness to Christ's work in his life and lived as a cast member in the kingdom of God. Finally, Jesus says to the disciples, there's going to be a period of waiting, and I need you to be patient. At the right time, the waiting will be over. You, good people of St. Peter's by the Sea, are going to go into a period of waiting. We will have a bridge pastor here shortly. We're working on the details right now. We will have you taken care of, but it can feel like this wait, as for your next settled pastor, be something of time to endure. But I need to remind you that though Pastor Karen is leaving, God is still going to be here. There will still be work for you to do. And you can wait patiently as you do that work. And God calls you to continue to do the good work of reaching out beyond yourself to the community at large. Because after all, because God's got us in God's grip, and we don't need to worry about ourselves, we can raise our eyes from ourselves to our neighbor, to our community, and say, what do they need? And how do we say no to ourselves in order to make sure that their needs are met? You know, a congregation that was kind of like a club until Pastor Joe came in. The buildings, everything, the church was one of places people drove in on Sunday and then drove out of, and the building only had a secretary and a pastor there during the week. And Pastor Joe said, this is crazy. We've got facilities, we've got needs in this community. So he talked to community members, opened up the building, talked to leadership, and council agreed to go along with us. AA groups, NA groups, other needs were met through there. In fact, a number of groups came, so much so that sometimes they couldn't hold funerals when they wanted to because space was being utilized by those groups. But Pastor Joe encouraged them to hold firm whenever those things happened. Well, he left, and they were in a period of waiting. And one family had a memorial that needed to take place, and the most convenient time, they had this other group there. And you got to know that some church members said, well, you know, church should really be for us. This is our church, after all. We really need the building for when we need it. So maybe we just need to tell this group they can't meet here anymore. But thankfully, there are other people in that leadership group, and including the family of the memorial themselves, who said, you know, that might meet our needs, but we don't think that this is our building. Isn't this really God's building? Aren't there people who need God's help in here? And we can adjust to another time. It may not be quite as convenient for some of us, but we can say no to that what's most convenient to us in order to continue saying yes to these people who are in need. And so they chose to do that. Another example of being patient, continuing to do God's work, and trusting that God is still with them. So, Pastor Karen, thank you for the ways that you have helped this congregation be cast members in the kingdom of God. Thank you for the ways that you have taught Bible studies, reminded them of God's deep love for them so that they don't worry about themselves. Thank you for the ways you've encouraged them to lift their eyes to the needs of their neighbors and help them to reach out. St. Peter's by the Sea, thank you for helping Pastor Karen to be the pastor God needed her to be in this place. Thank you for reminding her in Bible study that God had her in His grip, in God's grip, and that God was never going to leave her. Thank you for reminding her that she needed to lift her eyes to the community as well and work with you to reach out with God's love and care. It's been a wonderful partnership. And though Pastor Karen departs, I know the rest of you and God will still be here. And so I look forward to hearing the great things God does with and among you in the in-between time and when you have your next settled pastor. May God's blessings be with you, and may you every day live out your call to be cast members in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, in the book of Ecclesiastes it is written, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to seek and a time to lose." Your pastor is leaving for retirement. Today, therefore, is a time to mark the ending of her ministry here at St. Peter's by the Sea. It is a time to give thanks and praise to Almighty God for the fruitfulness of the ministry of Pastor Marone and to celebrate what she has given us in our lives together.
Live in charity and steadfast love. Live in charity. God will dwell with you.
Pastor Marone, on March 30th, 2003, we of St. Peter's by the Sea Lutheran Church called you to be a pastor in this place. To proclaim God's word, to baptize and teach, to announce God's forgiveness, and to preside at the Lord's table. With the gospel, you have comforted us in times of sickness and trouble, and at the death of our loved ones. Sharing our joys and sorrows, you have been important to our life together in the Church of Jesus Christ. In our service to this community and in God's mission to the whole world, as you leave this community of faith and your retirement begins, we say farewell and we pray for God's blessings.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us to baptize. I was the first of 95 infants who were baptized by Pastor Marone at this font.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us to evangelize. My wife and I were the most recent adults to be baptized at this font.
Pastor Moran was called to be among us to preach and teach. From children's sermons to confirmation classes to ongoing deacon studies, she has taught. I was in the last group of confirmation candidates to be confirmed by Pastor Moran. Last Sunday, 35 young people have been confirmed and 7 congregation deacons have been instructed and consecrated since 2003.
Given charity and steadfast love, live in charity, God will come with you.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us to welcome and build community. We did that in a real way under her leadership with the All Are Welcome campaign for the restoration and renovation of our buildings.
Charity and steadfast love, live in charity, God will dwell in you.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us to preside at the celebration of Word and Sacrament. I've prepared the altar for communion on Sunday mornings. Sunday after Sunday, well over 850 Sundays, and as many midweek services. Countless people have heard the good news and shared in Holy Communion.
Live in charity and steadfast love. Live in charity, God will dwell with you.
Pastor Marone was called among us to counsel couples and preside at their weddings. We were married in this church in 2004, one of 25 couples whose marriage was witnessed by Pastor Marone during the past 16 years. You encouraged couples to include God in their marriage and proclaim God's presence in our lives.
Charity and steadfast love, live in charity, God will dwell with you.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us, to console and grieve with us. My father's funeral was the first of nearly 150 funerals since 2003, where she presided in the sanctuary, under canopies in the cemeteries, and on the sea scattering ashes.
Charity and steadfast love, live in charity.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us to give pastoral care, and she shared that ministry with our congregation deacons. There's no way to count the number of hours she has given in making personal visits in homes, nursing homes, and hospitals, serving on community and church boards and committees, witnessing and evangelizing. representing St. Peter's, the Pacifica Synod, and the Lutheran Church.
Pastor Marone was called to be among us as our pastor. When she was installed in May of 2003, she promised to love, serve, and pray for us. She promised to nourish us with the Word and Holy Sacraments, leading by example in the use, the means of grace, in faithful service and holy living. And she heard us promise to regard her as our pastor and pray for her, help and honor her for her work's sake, and in all things strive to live in the peace and unity of Christ. The stole is the sign of ordination and the pastoral role. We receive it now in gratitude for the many years together. We place it on the altar. Along with our prayers for the next pastor that God is preparing to call to St. Peter's.
People of God and members of St. Peter's by the Sea, do you release Pastor Karen Marone from service as your pastor?
We do, and we give thanks to God for our ministry together.
Pastor Marone, do you recognize and accept the completion of your ministry with St. Peter's by the Sea?
I do, and I give thanks to God for our ministry together.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the ministry of Pastor Karen among the people of God in this place. You watch over our going out and our coming in. Bless this time of ending and beginning. You surround your people in every time and place. Keep us close in your love. You accompany your people in times of joy and times of trial. Prosper all that has been done to your glory in this time together. Heal and forgive all that has fallen short of your will for us. Help Pastor Karen and all of us to live with courage and gladness in the future you give to us. As she has been a blessing to us, so now send her forth to be a blessing to others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The people of this church and the community that you've served for so long wanted to share with you a physical sign of our blessings and our memories and our thankfulness for your time with us.
I'm not going to open this. This is beautiful. And I thank you all for all of the wonderful emotions and thoughts that you're sharing with me today, and for all of these past times, and for your future here at St. Peter's by the Sea. You're on strong legs, a strong congregation, and you will continue to walk in the way of the Lord. Thank you.